Proverbs 24, beginning in verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn into death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? He that keepeth thy soul, doth he not know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? We've discussed this evening the pitfall of a feeble constitution. Let's ask the Lord to bless as we look into his word. Now, Father, I pray that you'd bless your word to our hearts tonight, that someone whose arms are hanging down and knees have become weak would be encouraged. Lord, may we be reminded tonight from your word that you've challenged us to remain faithful, to be strong. And Lord, we confess that we find ourselves often weak, and so we're so thankful tonight that you remember our flesh and you know we're dust. And that your promise is you'll not give us that which is more than we can bear, that you with the temptation bring a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. And Lord, we confess that it's difficult for us in our trials to count them all joy. But we discover through the trials that wonderful work of strengthening that the Spirit of God does as the image of Christ is chiseled upon us. And so, Lord, I pray for someone here in this room this evening who's discouraged. May the Spirit of God breathe upon their heart tonight. Someone here who needs to be challenged to be more diligent. May they be roused up this evening to be faithful. And Lord, may your word tonight go down richly within us. And may this evening we find the Spirit of God to be our teacher. And Lord, may we go out from this place tonight knowing you and loving you better. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. The life of Paul Anderson of Vandalia, Georgia, was featured on Unshackled from the Moody Radio Ministry, featured as being called the world's strongest man. I'm glad to say that Anderson, 5'9", 330 pounds, was a strong believer. Over 400 times a year, he would go and speak at various locations to demonstrate his strength. Typically, he would lift a table with 8 men seated on the table. He would often take his hand as a hammer and drive nails into boards with his bare hand. 1985, the Guinness Book of World Records named Paul Anderson the world's strongest man, having lifted 6,270 pounds. Anderson was an Olympian. In the 1950s, he set world records for his great strength. And the Lord won his heart. And in the winning of Anderson's heart, a youth camp was developed, and Anderson went on to serve the Lord in a great way. Now, to my knowledge, there's no one in this room that approaches the strength of Paul Anderson. But God has called upon each of us to be strong. God wants you, God wants me to be strong. And so over and again, we're going to find that drawn to our attention in God's Word. In the Old Testament, we read in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 7, Moses called Joshua to him and said to him in the sight of Israel, be strong and of a good courage. Over and again, God speaks to Joshua, telling him to be strong, especially in that first chapter, as Joshua takes the leadership of the great nation of Israel, God says to him, be strong and of a good courage. Joshua would actually speak to the children of Israel in the same words that God spoke to his heart. Be strong and of a good courage, he would say to the gathered assembly in Joshua 10 and verse 25. And those who serve the Lord today are also called upon to be strong. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men and be strong. Finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6 and verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. For those who would live by faith, being strong is not optional. Being strong is an obligation. Being strong is not optional. These are imperatives given along the way. And so, dear Christian, when the difficulties come and your knees become enfeebled beneath you and your arms begin to hang down, understand that when you approach the soft shoulder of that friend who tells you you have reason to quit, You may not be listening to biblical counsel. Biblical counsel is to be strong even when adversity comes. We're to exercise ourselves, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7, in what Hebrews 10 calls the gymnasium of opportunity unto godliness. I've seen weightlifters in weight rooms. In fact, I've inadvertently walked into rooms and dormitories where guys who have just come back from the weight room are looking at themselves in the mirror. We've been enjoying Chase recently. He's discovering that men are supposed to have muscles. So every day he wants to wear what he calls his muscle shirt. It's cut off here at the shoulders. It looks like something I grew up with in West Virginia. No offense. But he likes to walk by and flex a little bit and show us his muscles. The mirror that we look into to discover our spiritual strength is right here. We look in the mirror of God's Word and discover whether or not God would consider us to be spiritually strong. And from the words of wisdom that we look to this evening, we see that the Lord is exposing two characteristics of those who would be categorized as feeble of faith. The feeble of faith, they faint in the day of adversity. Chapter 24 and verse 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Folks, we realize that hardship has been part of the human condition since the fall. Since the expulsion from Eden, there has been hardship along the pathway of life. There are those who quickly accuse, even fellow servants within a congregation. Watch out, that guy seems to be going through quite a bit of adversity. Clear the path. It must be some measure of sin that causes that adversity to fall his way. Shimei was like that. When David was running from Absalom, my how Shimei liked to tease and laugh and scorn. But folks, realize that every believer, every servant, every Christian is going to go through times of adversity. During those times of adversity, we need to rally around one another and encourage one another to be strong. I remember when we were making preparations for the funerals of our children, one of the deacons came to me and he said, Pastor Phelps, you're not going to believe this, but the folks out there in Kansas, the Fred Phelps group, they're coming to protest the funeral. No matter what it would be, whether it be the funeral of a military person or a homosexual, there'll always be some, or even a believer, who want to stand by and scorn. Now, I don't think, Paul, those are your relatives. They're not my relatives. We want to make this clear with the Phelps in the audience this evening. But be careful what side you gather on when storms are falling upon the lives of others. No one should be judged for the storms that they go through. They should be judged by how they go through the storms. And so we say it often around here, and I trust we'll understand it, that we're not judged because we're called upon to go through adversity. Adversity is part of the human condition. But we will be judged by how we face those adversities. So don't judge us for the problems we face. Judge us by how we face those problems. Amy Carmichael's picture is here before you this evening. A diminutive little gal who went to India, seemingly all alone, she would stand for Christ, crying out to the Lord for greater opportunities in ministry. She would fall prey to a terrible accident, and in her latter years, she would be quite disabled. During her ministry in India, God so moved in her heart that she would look at others and ask this question by way of a poem. Hast thou no scar, no hidden scar on foot or side or hand? I hear thee sung as mighty in the land. I hear them hail thy bright ascendant star. Hast thou no scar? No wound, no scar, yet as the master shall the servant be, and pierced are the feet that follow me, but thine are whole. Can he have followed far who hast no wound or scar? God wants us to endure when he sends the trials, and the trials come, don't they? Endure hardship as a good soldier. In fact, James says those who endure hardship are happy. James chapter 5 and verse 11. Those who endure their hardships are happy. It's the quitters who are sad. It's those who faint who are to be pitied. And in Proverbs 24 and verse 10, this word faint means sinking down, becoming discouraged, almost being counted out for the bell, loaded under that burden. And so we learn, if you would endure adversity, some truths need to be pondered, and they need to be pondered regularly. If you would endure adversity first, you must rely on the Lord to strengthen you. You must rely on the Lord to strengthen you. How the Old Testament and the New Testament provide for us witness that God is willing to strengthen His people when adversities come. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Isaiah 40:29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, praise God, He giveth strength. I love Psalm 50:15. Call upon me in the day of adversity, and I will deliver thee. God actually asks us to call upon Him when we're going through trials, with the promise He will deliver us and give to us that help that's necessary. No one in this room who's walked with the Lord for more than a little while would ever testify anything to the contrary. God keeps His promises, and when we fall under the burden of affliction and we call unto the Lord, it's an amazing thing to see how quickly the Word of God comes alive. It's an amazing thing to see how God brings back to memories truths that have been forgotten over the years, but the Spirit of God enables. How soon God brings along our pathway those who would encourage, call upon me in the day of adversity, and I will deliver thee. For my grace, 2 Corinthians 12:9, is sufficient for thee. When adversity comes, don't fall in battle. Run to Christ. I'm so thankful that I grew up in a Christian home where, while the decor in our rooms were rather Spartan, there was a wooden plaque over my bed for many years that simply said, "Cast your care upon me, for I care for you. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Now, I was wise enough to learn it right. I heard some child went to Sunday school and learned the verse this way, "Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you." That's not how it goes. But He does care for us. What a blessing to realize. Rely on the Lord to strengthen you. And remember, the enemy really does want to destroy you. And he never takes a vacation. He's a roaring lion. He's vigilant to discourage those who turn to the Lord. No one is immune. Jesus tells us in Matthew 13 that when the seed falls by the wayside, some is scorched by the sun, and some the birds come down and gather away, and some the thorns will choke out. And then he explains the imagery that he's given, how the sun demonstrates adversities that come, and the birds, how Satan's messengers come and desire to take away the word, and the cares of the world choke, and no one's immune. Satan's attacks are ongoing, they're personal, and they're powerful. Jesus would even say to Simon in Luke 22:31, "Simon, Satan desires to have you and to sift you as wheat." In times of danger, Satan's attacks become more. And you need to realize the consequences that can scar you. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Fainting in the day of adversity brings consequence in our lives. One of those consequences frequently ought to be considered, and that is the consequence of bitterness. Fainting in adversity may bring lifelong regrets. And so Hebrews 12 says, "Looking diligently, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you." Fainting in adversity may bring discontentment. Fainting in adversity may cause you to lose ministry. And so the Apostle Paul would say, "I keep my body under and bring it in subjection, that lest by any means what I preach to others, I myself would be a cast off." Have you ever talked to a Christian who has fainted in adversity? I had the privilege of preaching on the street in Anderson, South Carolina when I was in college. You set up big speakers and you preach to the bar, hoping that someone inside the bar would hear. One particular day, a man came out of the bar and wanted to talk to me after the service. He approached me and he said, with tears in his eyes, "I'm going home this evening. I'm a backslidden preacher. I heard the message from inside the bar this evening, and I left my family a number of years ago. All the guys who were on the street preaching that evening gathered around that man to pray that God would strengthen him." But we think about the opportunities lost and the testimony that's failed, the ministries that have been put aside. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. The feeble of faith faint in the day of adversity. There's something else that's spoken of in this short paragraph for verses 10, 11, and 12 in Proverbs 24 do indeed form a paragraph. Solomon now paints a very bleak picture in verse 11 and 12. You see, in the days in which Solomon lived, when a person was condemned to death, much like our Savior was paraded through the streets with his cross, even so the prisoners in that day would be paraded through the streets. With this in mind, if there's someone in the audience, some member of the community who can step forward and give a cause whereby this person can be found innocent, that person was expected to stand forward and offer the argument. But look what Solomon says in verses 11 and 12. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, that little phrase, drawn unto death, some English versions will translate it stumbling to the slaughter. If you forbear or put off or are not interested in delivering someone who's stumbling toward the slaughter and those that are ready to be slain, if you rather say, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth he not know it? Shall he not rather render to every man according to his works? What's he teaching us here? He's teaching us that those who are feeble of constitution are full of apathy toward others. And sadly, some would turn aside, and according to this passage, they would claim ignorance. We knew it not. That's the great excuse of the apathetic. I didn't know it. I didn't know it. It's the age-old excuse that Cain used in the garden when he was asked regarding his brother's welfare. What does he say? He claims to be unaware. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? It's a constant wrestling match, isn't it, to be concerned about the lives of others? Quite honestly, this is the first community in which I've lived where I've seen so many panhandlers on busy streets. Maybe it's the age in which we're now living. Maybe it's something particularly endemic to Indianapolis at this time. I don't know. But I've passed signs as I go to various events in Indianapolis and found myself frustrated. The one sign that really frustrates me, of course, is the one where people hold up the sign that says, I'm not going to lie, it's for beer. While that may seem humorous, it certainly is a sad condition to be in. It's easy for us to become desensitized, isn't it? To look at the world through eyes that are redeemed and not see the peril of the souls round about it. We sang about it this evening. And honestly, that second verse of Brethren we have met to worship is a hard verse to sing. Can we see our fathers and our mothers and our brothers and our sisters sinking down? In this passage, we're challenged to look in just exactly that way and not to make excuses. The excuse that comes, behold, we knew it not. While many are passing by, Jesus reminds us in the Gospel of Luke of a Samaritan who would stop. And I have to be convicted here. We are all wired differently. Part of my wiring, I think, in DNA is I like to have a to-do list that's done at the end of the day. I like to move from task to task. But the Word of God challenges us here that there are those that need to be seen, for they are in peril and they are sinking down. We should not be using the excuse, I didn't know it. Involvement in the lives of our neighbors, involvement in the lives of our colleagues at work, involvement in the lives of people at church. For there are some in this passage who are faint and are going to fail. And there are others in this passage equally indicted who know about it, but they just feign. Now listen, that may be culturally acceptable, but it's not spiritually acceptable. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth he not ponder? Here's the great warning to the apathetic that's in this passage, and that great warning is God's omniscience. Doth he not ponder the heart and consider it? He that keepeth thy soul, doth he not know it? And shall he not render to every man according to his works? Pleading ignorance may save face in culture, but pleading ignorance will destroy the soul. Jude says, if you see that one who is slipping away and draw him back, that one who draws that one back, hating the garments that are spotted with sin, that one is wise. Proverbs says, he that winneth souls is wise. And so we ask the question this evening, and we need to ask because God asked the question of us. Do we realize that when we hasten on from our task to another task, from our to-do list to another to-do list, are we aware of the people round about us? God will hold us accountable for those we fail to help. After all, Galatians 6 says in verse 2, we're to bear one another's burdens. And an unwillingness to bear those burdens, God will hold us accountable. God will hold us accountable for our failure to witness. Ezekiel makes it plain when he says, if you see and you know and you fail to warn, that blood will be upon your own hands. A number of years ago, a man came to me, broken emotionally. He said this, I've been working in the same place for well over a year. The young man with whom I work, we shared lunch together, laughs together, worked together. And just yesterday, he pulled out from work on his motorcycle on the way home, and he died in an automobile accident. He said, Pastor Phelps, I have to tell you, I never once witnessed to him. I never once told him. What a sad reality many live in. They say, I didn't know. But don't you understand that he that ponders the heart, that's God, for he sees the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Don't you know that he considers it? That he keeps thy soul, he knows it. He will render to every man according to his works. God holds us accountable for our failure to participate. God wants his servants to be strong in adversity. God wants his servants to avoid irresponsible apathy. God wants to find us faithful. Let's stand together, please, as we ask the Lord to bury these truths in our heart this evening. Father, tonight, we find ourselves in a great congregation, blessed beyond belief by fellowship and joy, children singing from their hearts sincerely, young adults ministering, friendships formed in this ministry that go back decades. Lord, this day we've been reminded that you're building your church. We've been reminded that you're protecting your church. And you're using your church as a light in a darkened age. So Lord, help us to lift up our eyes and to cooperate as we were challenged in the Sunday school hour this morning with what you're doing. May every moment of fellowship and every opportunity to connect with a life matter. Help us not to slide through the foyer and pass by opportunity to minister. Lord, help us not to be excuse makers. I didn't know it. Father, help us to engage in the workplace, in the culture, in the Sunday school class, in the nursery, in the church, and in the school. To engage, to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Oh Lord, I pray that we as a people would hunger in heart to be found faithful so that we might hear well done. Good and faithful servant, which in Christ's name we pray. Amen.